Amazing. I feel quite intimidated. People have been saying such nice things about me. It's always a privilege to come to your congregation. But then again, at my age, it's a privilege to be anywhere. So I'm very glad. I was driving this morning, and God reminded me that 5 years and a month ago, I wasn't in a bad place. I was kind of just cruising. And I visited this congregation. Well, I visited Sunningdale. On my way to a braai, we were going to light a fire, little blitzies. I liked that. And I sat there. And Andrew, who I knew, said, "Hey, how's it, bro?" And my life changed dramatically from that day, because somebody went to him afterwards and said, "Listen to this. I don't know who the old guy is. I've forgiven them, but I think he needs to work with us," which was totally left field for me. And Andrew, you know what Andrew's like? He said, "Bro, we need to get coffee, eh? And it better be this week because I'm going to Namibia, so you..." Okay. And then I saw him on the Thursday, said, "Okay, here's what's happening, and when can you start?" I said, whoa. Just, I'm actually connected to another apostolic field. I have been there for over 30 years. Hello, Juliana. Juliana knows me. She comes to say hello to me. Kim says, "Gee, you remembered her name." I said, "I conducted their wedding." We won't go how long ago that was. And my life changed, and I became part of Joshua's generation. So I am just, I really mean that, very grateful what God is. God is very kind, you know, very kind. This morning I was reading in my devotion, and on this theme of he must become more and I must become less. And I just thought to myself, how much less have I or am I becoming? How committed am I to becoming less so he can become more? And it's in my notes. It's in my notes. We'll get there. But we've got to have a posture. I love that. That's the word. That's the inward posture. It's a good word. Of coming before God and realizing he's going to pinpoint things in our hearts. We mustn't ignore that. You mustn't just override that because it's difficult, because it affects me. That's how God works. Imagine John the Baptist, dressed in camel hair, eating locusts and wild honey, and preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the Bible says people went to go and listen to this man. And he was drawing crowds. He was a popular guy. And then Jesus arrived on the scene. And John the Baptist said, they said, "Are you?" He said, no, I'm not the one. There's one coming after me. And when he comes, I must just tell whoever it is that we're busy. He must become more, and I must become less. Now, I'll tell you this. When you got this thing, there's a temptation that you don't want to become less, because then maybe this is taken away. And, you know, you don't strive for this. Strive for him. Your anointing will make room for you. Not your supposed anointing, your anointing. Because the Bible says, John says, you have an anointing. It's from God. But the key is to keep yourself in that realm. You keep yourself in him. In him. And that's not what I'm preaching about. That's just the intro. That's free. And is there a clock here? Hallelujah. No, I'm joking. We I planted a church, as Joey said, in Musenberg long ago, 1993. Handed it over 20 years later. Now it's 30 years ago. And they said at a meeting, they said, look, they think we need to get a clock and put it at the back. And one old guy stood up and he said, we don't need a clock, we need a calendar. Because it went on a bit. And then every time I got to preach, when one of my elders was kind of at the back, I'd look at the clock, I think, no, it can't be. And he'd get up when I was busy faffing and he'd move it on 20 minutes. And I thought, oh my word, the time is gone. Okay, let me pray, and then we'll ask God. I can feel the expectation. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. But what are you expecting? And when we ask the question, or we say more of him, what do we actually mean? What do we mean? It's a good question. Who was born before 1993? Okay, that's good. So you guys, sorry for you. I mean, you're here now, but you weren't there then. And we were around. And an amazing thing took place in the church. It was called the Toronto Blessing, which was a terrible name because it happened to start in a little church in Toronto. But God visited the church in phenomenal ways. And the thing that made it very difficult to accept was that we didn't expect to get what God wanted to give us in the way he wanted to give it. It was chaos. It was chaos. Can I just tell you one story? The church I planted was quite a big church, over 500 people at the end. And one Sunday morning, I was the only guy standing. I did nothing. I stood up and people just began to fall all over the place. And you know, you think, then this. You think, I'm the man. I'm the man. And God says, you watch it. And the headmaster of the school we were in was in a very traditional church. And I'm standing at the front and people are laughing and crying. And there's chaos in the meeting. People are screeching. And I see him at the back like this. So I think, well, I better go to the back, he said. What happened? I said, God came. He didn't understand that. God came. Because you see, when God comes, you cannot prescribe to God how he must do what he wants to do. Because the flesh has got a thing called pride in it. God broke my pride. I stood up to preach one day, and I felt, gee, I'm getting drunk. And there was an old lady in our church who used to put on the pulpit, because it had a little place for your water, she'd put a glass of lemon juice, homemade. You know, that really sticky stuff, little bit of lemon water, and she thought that was my favorite. And I fell. I took the pulpit with me, and this glass of sticky stuff landed on me. And I had a little lapel mic, and I said, this is your pastor. I'm addressing you from the floor. And God did. God, it was embarrassing. I could not stand. So eventually the elders came and said, look, you're talking rubbish. Just go sit down, and we'll and we'll worship. Now, for me, I'm the leader. I'm in charge here. God's put me in charge. I'm, you know what I am? And God just took away all that, the flesh. And if we want to receive this morning, and I know you do, don't stop what God wants to do, because it could be I don't do that. And my mascara is going to run. Help him, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is, let me pray. I was going to pray. Father, thank you that we're in your presence. Thank you that you are here. We don't have to ask you to come. You are present. Because you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And we want to thank you for your presence, the presence by your Spirit who lives in us and who wants more of us so that his life can become more evident in our lives. And we ask you to open our hearts to receive from you the way you want to bring your presence into our being. Think it through. I'm saying, Lord, you do what you want to do. You do what you want to do for your glory. Amen. So in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's explaining to them, guys, listen, I'm paraphrasing. I'm going away. They're going to crucify me, and I'm going to be hung on a cross, and I am going to die. But in 3 days, I'm going to take back my life, and I'm going to come to you again. And the disciples are completely thrown by that, as you and I would be. Can you imagine if Jesus walked in here in the flesh now? Kim was telling me, Brian Habana used to be in Joshua Generation, and the first time he arrived, Brian Habana. He's Brian Habana, bro. He's a Springbok. I don't care. He's just Brian Habana. I'm sorry, Brian Habana, if you ever listen to this, but you're just Brian Habana. Nobody else. I'm just Jeff Kidwell. I can't be anybody else because everybody else is taken. But I can be what God wants me to be. And Jesus must always get all the honor. So Jesus is talking to the disciples in John chapter 14, prepping them with the news that he was going to be leaving. Now you just think, you're leaving. Yeah, I'm leaving you. But I just want to say this, guys. It's actually going to be better that I go. And Thomas is saying, I doubt that. You're very slow. They troubled, they disturbed. Jesus consoles them, says in John chapter 14, verse 6. Here we go. I'll ask the Father. Have we got that one? Here we go. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. I, Jesus said, will ask the Father. Let me ask this question. Is Jesus God? Very poor. Of course he is. Jesus is God. He's not the Son of God. He is the Son of God, but he's God. Do you believe that? Is the Holy Spirit God? He is God. Because we've got this triune God, which is a mystery. They three, yet one, and they one, yet they three. And Jesus says, because let me put it this way. During the Old Testament, the Father was like the representative of the Godhead on the planet. Because when I needed to speak to God, I went to the temple, if I was Jewish, and I went to see a priest, and I said to him, listen, I've got some serious issues with my husband, or I've got some serious issues with my wife, or my boyfriend, or my girlfriend. Will you please, as the priest, will you please speak to God on my behalf? And he said, I will, because that's what I do. I'm a priest. And the Father was the representative of the Godhead. And so the priest spoke to the Father, and the Father spoke to the priest, and the priest said, not a good idea, or very good idea. It's from God. Then Jesus came, and Jesus was the representative of the Godhead on the planet for 3 years. Jesus never, ever went into the Holy of Holies in his 3 years. You know why? He wasn't a priest. He was the man. Christ Jesus. But he represented the Godhead. And he did incredible things. And then he said this, and I'm going to go away now. But I'm going to send, and I'll ask the Father, and he will send another like me. I will ask the Father. And then in John 14, 26, it says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Is this a living book? How does it come alive? This is a book. Should I pose? So she's taking a picture. I was going to just. This is just words written on a page. Do you understand that? It's called the Holy Bible. It's a living word. But it only comes alive when the Spirit of God takes hold of my life and enlightens me. I memorize scripture at school. I could quote Psalm 121. I could quote the Lord's Prayer. Psalm 23. I knew them off by heart. I knew the shortest verse in the Bible. Which is? Found where? No, you must give chapter and verse, bro. John 14, 35. Do you know what? I didn't know why Jesus wept. I just knew this book said Jesus wept. I didn't know that God wanted to be my shepherd. I didn't know I was a sheep. I didn't know I was lost. I didn't know if I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I didn't have to fear because he was with me. I didn't know that. But the book says it. So the book is dead without the life of the Spirit. Do you understand what it means? And Jesus said to them, I'm going away. Fine for you, Jesus, paraphrasing. I will ask the Father, and he will send the Comforter. He will come to you, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside, the one who will be with you forever. Hebrews 13. It's not in my notes. Sorry, Bru. I'm running ahead of myself. I will never, ever, this is what the Greek original says, I will never, ever, ever, ever forsake you. I will never, ever, ever leave you. That's the promise. And then we get into scrapes and say, oh, Lord, where are you? You Wally, I'm here. And we get like that because we don't know him. We don't know him. Okay, I must get on. Called alongside to help. Jesus has been their counselor up to this point. Now he said, I'm going to give you another one. Can you imagine at night sitting with Jesus and then just saying, do you remember you touched that blind guy today? This is how they would talk. Yeah. You mean, and then he could see again. How do you do that? That's Peter. And Jesus didn't say, look, Peter, well, you've got to have the posture of, and you've got to understand, Peter, you've got to be really humble. And then you pray in the manner that I'm going to teach you. He didn't say anything like that. He taught them by doing the stuff. And then he said, now you go and do likewise. And when they made mistakes, they came back and said, we couldn't get rid of that devil. And Jesus would say, well, that type comes out by prayer and fasting. You can't just go and get rid of a demon in that way. You've got to be close to me. You've got to know my ways. Okay? And so, okay, He said he comes. So this would be, when he comes, Jesus said this, he comes to be with you forever. I looked up the Greek word for forever. It says forever. I didn't look up the Greek word, and I used to say I know a little Greek. And he's got a cafe down on the corner near me. But now I don't have to say that anymore because we've got one in our congregation. And now I can say, I know a little Greek, and there he sits. I don't know the Greek, but forever means forever. He comes to abide. He comes to stay. He doesn't come to visit every now and again. Oh, hallelujah, you yeah. No, he's come to stay. What does the psalmist say? He who abides in the shelter of the Almighty will rest in the Yenons. What psalm is that? Who's the lady that just joined? I'm just checking. Now I would never do that. I'll do it to him. Because I know. Psalm, what's the psalm? Somewhere? 91, yeah. So if you abide, it's like I say to you, look, I'm coming to visit. Oh, cool. And I arrive with a suitcase. You say, what's this about, Bru? You say, no, I've come to stay. Beg your pardon? You said you're coming to visit. No, this God said, I'm coming to live with you forever. I come to live not just with you, but in you. So if Jesus came to stay with me in Marina da Gama and said, I'm going to go and visit Joey and Donna now, and maybe he would. I'm joking. I am then without Jesus because he's with Joey and Donna. So where's Jesus? No, he's with Joey and Donna. Aren't you feeling a lack? Well, I love it when he's here. So you see how it's better for me that the Comforter will come and he'll be with me forever. He comes to live with and in me. He comes, sorry, Bru, I'm running ahead of 14:20. He comes to teach us. 14:26. I've given him all these beautiful scriptures. The Holy Spirit and the Father will teach you. So yes, it works. Yes, it works. We make it so complicated. I read the book. I read. This is Psalm 1. Blessed. Blessed means, oh, how very happy. That's what blessed means. Oh, how very happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Oh, how very happy is he or she, because it's gender neutral. Good word, eh? Or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Ah, love that. Lord, I thank you that, no. Where's your delight? In the law of the Lord, in the book. That's where my delight must be. If it's not there, I'm not going to grow in the things of God. You've got to read the book in order to be taught. Say amen. Amen. You've got to read the book in order to be taught. Because the Spirit takes this book, this word, and he awakens it to my soul. And so I think, oh my word. I did a memorial service thing yesterday for a lady who committed her life to Christ literally on her deathbed. She was resisting God her whole life. She was 70-something, almost on her deathbed. And her husband just spoke so beautifully. She was closed to the book. I used to visit because the husband said, come. I said to her one day, can I tell you a story? It's about Jesus. She said, okay. So I told her the story of the woman at the well and the living water. This is what she said. She said, okay, I'll think about that. She could have thought about that till she died. But if she didn't own that the Holy Spirit wanted to bring that word to life for her, it's just a word. It's just a word. And if you don't take the word of God literally, it's just a word. I loved what, where's my brother who prayed for me? About fire, oil, there. That was the word that got me up there in the prayer meeting. That God's oiled you. And I'm going to just, and you're going to set on fire. Now, you're not going to burn like fire, fire, fire. But something's going to happen in your heart. And you're going to think, oh my word, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ. Because he strengthens me. I can do it. Okay, let's keep going. I just love this stuff. He comes to testify, John 15, brother. I love this man, 15, 26, 27. He comes to testify about Jesus and helps and encourages us to do the same. When he comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Lord, he will testify about me. The Spirit will testify about Jesus. So if the Spirit of God lives in me, don't testify about you. Testify about him. And you must also testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. So what's the best way to evangelize? Let me just say this to you. The word evangelize is not in the New Testament. Evangelical, evangelism, evangelist, gifts. We call to go and testify about what Jesus has done in my life. I am a witness. I can be a good witness or a bad witness. I'm a bad witness when I don't read the book. Or I'm a bad witness and I read the book and I don't apply it. What's the point? What's the point? Watch Dallas. And those of you before 1993 don't know what I'm talking about. It was a program on TV. He comes to convict the world through us. John 16:8. John, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Your friends that are giving you uphill, you cannot convict them. You can testify to what Jesus has done in your life. You can be a witness to what Jesus has done in your life, in the life of the church. And the Spirit of God takes those words and he applies it to their hearts. And suddenly they get convicted. I was a good guy. I tried my best. But my best got me nowhere with God. Then one day, one night, my late wife took me to a meeting. And this old man stood up, and there were charts all around the wall. Lakes of fire. The revelation. And there was all these things. And my wife had got saved. She said, will you come? I said, I'll come. I'm not empty. Because, you know, I'm like a good guy. I don't need God. You know, God, you know, come on. And the old man said to the congregation that night, and he was a Baptist. And let me say this. If a Baptist changes his message just before he preaches, it has to be God. And he said this, tonight I'm going to tell you what it means to be a Christian. And that was for me. I sat there and I got convicted. And then he said, if you want to speak to me afterwards, come to the vestry, which is a religious name for an office. The vestibule. And I walked in there and he sat. He said, how long did it take you to come through the door? I said, a second. He said, that's how quickly Jesus wants to save you. That's how quickly Jesus wants to save you. And I got saved. And my life changed. Changed. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're right. And you know what? In October, it's going to be 50 years ago. I was three then. I was three. Because people are trying to work it out. No. Or Yeah. John 16:7, he comes for our good. He comes. Yeah, look what it says. John 16:7. You got that? When he comes, that's 8, bro. I can count, eh? 16:7, have you got that one? Didn't I put it in? Got it. You see, I hate turning my back because I never know what's going on behind me. Never. But I tell you the truth. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counsel will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. What's my point? He comes for our good. God wants to come and do me good. He's my Father first. And then he's my judge. But he's first my Father. He's not a judge who happens to be my Father. No, he's my Father who's perfect in all his ways. And he has to therefore judge me when I sin. But I have this way of escape. His name is Jesus. And the Spirit of God convicts me. And he speaks to me and he shows me, you Wally, don't do that. Don't think that. Don't watch that. Don't read that. That's how I grow in the knowledge of God. Okay. He's the comforter, blah, 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 blah. Okay, he hasn't come to make us comfortable. You know, glory, I'm a Christian. Thank God for that. I used to be in the insurance industry before I went into the ministry. When I had a proper job, I was in the insurance world. And I didn't sell life assurance. I'm now a life assurance broker because I can assure people on life. But it wasn't life. I used to insure motor cars and businesses and houses. And part of that deal was fire insurance, especially for businesses. They took out fire insurances because if the building burnt down or something happened, there was a fire, then we paid. And lots of people think my salvation is like fire insurance. Whew. I'm going to escape hell. No, don't be so dumb and still breathe. You have got to not just escape hell. You've got to grow in the knowledge of Christ. You can't just believe. Oh, I believe. I believe, I believe. Whatever you believe. No, you've believed in this Jesus and the Spirit comes to you and he awakens your soul to the realities of what Jesus can do for you. He will come. He will take from what is Jesus and make it known to us. He makes Jesus known. Who lives in my heart? That's a good one. Well, let's start. Yeah, where's the Father? Sorry? Where's the Father? Why do we always look there for heaven? The Father. No, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Hell. Go to hell. You go to heaven. Yes, he's in heaven. The Father is in heaven. Where's Jesus? Sitting at the right hand of the Father. So if you want a right hand man, you've got one. His name is Jesus. Where's the Spirit? He lives in me. He lives in you. So when we say, Jesus, come into my heart, the Bible never says that. It's the Spirit of God who comes to indwell you. And he makes Jesus known. Jesus is beautiful. He doesn't look like me, pretty and nice. What do you mean? You can see I had a nose job. I had a thing cut off my nose. And I saw a friend of mine. He said, what happened, bro? I said, teasing. I said, I had a nose job. He said, it hasn't helped. A friend of mine. Yeah. Anyway, what was I there for? Beautiful. What makes Jesus beautiful? You know what it is? The fruit that of the Spirit that grows in him. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness. Those are the things that make Jesus beautiful. Isaiah said he had no beauty. He had no beauty that we should have looked at him and thought, this is the man. No. What he did, how he said it, how he lived. Oh. Guys, girls, when you're looking for a partner, no, I'm serious. You look at the heart. Because that's where it begins. That's where it starts. And that's where it'll end. If you're married, look at the heart. You see, we mustn't just get head knowledge. People quote the Bible. Guy quoted, he knows all the books of the Bible. I said, Bru, that's why the Bible's got an index. Go to Habakkuk, you go, oh grief, Habakkuk. Is there like a book like Habakkuk? Is there Nehemiah, that little guy? Nehemiah, short guy. It's a part of the Bible where the pages are still stuck together, you know? You don't often go there. Listen, that's not what's important. It's I must know the author of the book. I must know the author of the book. Then when I read it, it speaks of him. I think, oh, it's beautiful. He is magnificent. That's what the Spirit of God does. And it's not just information. I can quote. Well, that's bully for you. You must read the Bible and you should memorize scripture. But don't talk to me in scripture like cheap as we're going on holiday and, you know, we drove out the driveway and drove over a thing and we had two flats. Oh, shame. I'm sorry. You fix it. Yeah. But praise God, Romans 8:28, eh? Well, don't speak to me like that. I'm not a book. I'm a person. Speak to me like you would speak to someone. Yeah, I know. You know, what's Romans 8:28? No, shush, I'm asking these young people. Thank you. Sorry. Not things work together. Things haven't worked together for my good at all. But God works things together for my good. God engineers things, changes things, makes things. That's why I've got to be open to the Spirit all the time. We must have the same heart as John the Baptist. Here it is, John 3:30. He must become greater, I must become less. What are the thieves in our lives that stop us from becoming less? I'll give you some. Pride, I said it just now. Patience, like now, please get done. The chicken is burning. You will have burnt offering this afternoon. So be self-seeking. Rudeness. You know, some people have a gift of rudeness. Anger. Unforgiveness. Envy. Believe me, if those things are in your life, the Spirit of God can't own you like he wants to. That's what John the Baptist meant. I must become less. It's not that I become less of me. I mean, I'm portly. I'm not fat, I'm portly. Because if you call me fat, then I get offended because that's, what's that called? Wokish thing. Yeah. Body shaming. Yeah, body shaming. Look, the bottom line is I'm fat. I like eating food. I'm an old guy now. People said you must diet. I said, what on earth for? I'm going to die soon. Why must I diet and ruin my life? Enjoy my life. I've been like this for 25 years. I'm not changing now. I mean, I've worked hard for this. My cardiologist always says to me, you must get rid of this. I said, this is my corporation. He said, what do you mean? I said, it's Kidwell and Company. It's part of me. I must become less. The measure that we have of him in our lives has enabled us to do some pretty amazing things. The measure that you have of him, that I have of him in my life, has enabled me and you to do some quite amazing things. Who's prayed for a sick person and they got better? What do you feel like? You think, come on, sickness, make my day. You're on it then. Who's got rid of a demon before? Somebody's life. Come on, don't be shy. Jeez, we've got a lot of work to do here. No, I'm joking. And you think, yes, it's not you. It's not you. It's the power of God in you. And praise God that you have that ability. I was invited to go to a church up there in Mamelodi, up there in Pretoria somewhere. I don't know how I got there, but anyway, I've been in some daft places in my life. And I went to visit this pastor. And we were having tea, sitting in his lounge, black guy, lovely man. And then he said, okay, it's time. I said, for? He said, you're preaching now. We've gathered the church. I said, have you got an English Bible, bro? I've come for tea. Anyway, you go and preach. He said, okay, now you pray for the sick. Oh, pray for the sick, eh? All right. Lady comes, first lady. Typical me. I don't go for headaches and little backaches. I go for blind eyes. Me, first one. You come here in Jesus' name. Put my hand over her eye. Pray the best prayer I could pray. Take the hand away. She says, that's better. I said, I beg your pardon. She said, that's better. I said, put your hand over your good eye. I said, how many fingers? Three. How many fingers? Four. How many fingers? I said to the pastor, are you sure she was blind? This is my faith. The guy with me comes from a very traditional thing. He is sitting gobsmacked. He took me in Pretoria because I'd nowhere to go. Like this. God healed her. Who healed her? God healed her. I'm just a drain pipe. Excuse me. I put my hand up. Down it comes. Put my hand out. Out it goes. Who am I? Nothing. The God who gives me and the recipient, they're the blessed ones. He's the glorious one. They're the blessed ones. Who am I? Nothing. Because I can do nothing without God who strengthens me. Nothing. So I looked up the Greek word for nothing. It says, listen, I know it's 1:05. Another 10 minutes. Can you give me 10 minutes? Yeah. Sir, are you sure? I'm appealing to you, to the better side of you now. That side that says, get on with it. Just forgive me, will you? No, I'm trying. You've got him, but does he have you? You've got him, but does he have you? Does he have you? The little of me he has enabled me to do. Yeah. I've seen amazing things. I mean, I've been walking with God for a long time, but I've seen amazing things. God has done incredible things. Because I'm so smart? No. Because God is so good. I just happen to be in the way. I like to get in the way of God's blessing and let it hit me and think, oh, glory, now I can keep going. Get in the way. Don't sidestep. It's not me. It's not. No, get in it. Give yourself to it. Go for it. What's a download? I don't know nothing about computers. I've got a cell phone, and David's mom always just shakes her head at me when she looks at my cell phone. Because I'll go in there and think, oh, grief, where's it gone now? And I've deleted it. I'm trying to open something and it's gone. Phone the guy. You remember that thing you sent me? Can you resend it? Why? I deleted it. How can you delete it? I don't know, but I did. Can you just send it to me? I'm stupid, but I do know this, that I've watched movies. When the good guy breaks into the bad guy's office and he's got a cell phone with, what's that little thingy in it? The chip, what's it called? Come and help me. The what? The SIM card. The SIM card. And he whips out his SIM card and puts in another one and shoves something in the back of it, then into the computer. And then you see on the screen, download beginning. And you think, oh, and it's tight because the people are coming and it's all happening. And he's panicking at the download. And you see, and then suddenly it stops. Download failed. Ah, what's he done? Backs it back to his SIM card, opens the thing. I don't know what he's doing, but it looks good. He starts again. Then download continues. And just as it's complete, takes all his stuff and he's gone. Some downloads take forever. They're not like in the movies. You know those little remote control trucks. My boys had remote control trucks. And we used to park them next to the wall, next to the plug, because they'd run them flat. And I would say to them, okay, park the truck, plug it into the wall. What was happening? It was being recharged. I've got to park myself often next to the wall, next to the inlet for God, so he can charge me. There's a download happening. Keep going. You can't do it by yourself. You can't. Okay. You see, we are actually not our own. God's bought us. We belong to him. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And Joey said that, who is in you, whom you receive from God. You're not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Christian, there is no excuse for us to say, I couldn't help it. You can help it. You can help it. I'm preparing a preach called Discipline or Deliverance. And I think we've got lazy as Christians. So I need deliverance. No, you ugly thing, you need to be disciplined. Don't need deliverance, you need to be disciplined. In my day, sorry guys, but discipline is key. It's key. Okay. I'm going to end with this. You'll be happy to know, I think. Oh, man. Oh, there's still so much. Is that good news? No. You feel, oh, for goodness sake, get done now. The Oaks come from the south, the deep south, and you forever. We want to go out, and I'll stop there. I'll just mention these things, and then you can go and look them up in John chapter 14. There's a lot of you wills. When he comes, you will realize. You will, he lives in, and he will be in you. He will come to you because I live, he says, you also will live. You will live because he lives. The second you will realize, you become fully aware. God opens your understanding. You think, I've never seen this before. You will realize. The light will come on. Jesus said, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me on that day. Then the third you will is, you will testify about me. You will be empowered by me. You will ask in my name. Last point. How do we pray? And all of us do it, and I do it too. We've been taught to pray in Jesus' name. Let me give you the last little point, and I'll close my book, and then I'm done. Because, you know, pastors say lastly, and then they last. Lastly. I know that. The name of Jesus, and I'm using IT language and which I'm very skilled, is the password to heaven. The name of Jesus is the password to heaven. So I should start praying like this. Father, I thank you that I can come to you in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus, the word says, has gone through the heavens, and he's opened up this new and living way for me and for you. And the Spirit now lives in me, and he takes what is in the book and he makes it known to me. So the name of Jesus is my password to heaven. I have got no merit of any description to speak to God. I have no merit to get into the throne room, that place where God sits. Nothing. But the name of Jesus opens heaven for me. So when I come, I say, oh, Lord, thank you for the name of Jesus. He's opened heaven for me. That's where the discipline comes. You just say, oh, thank you, Lord. Then you say, okay, what's on TV? No, 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 no. You stay there. You dwell there. You get what he wants to give you. And the Spirit enlightens you, opens your heart. And then you begin to grow. And you begin to enjoy him. And he tells you to do things. And you're not so scared because you've got the Spirit of God in you. And you know, he'll take care of it for you. But Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. We should start our prayers rather than end them in Jesus' name.